It is the hour of truth. It is about time to announce it. Joel Walthall here with me. He's got Scott Bishop here with me. All on my right and way out on the left is James Usler. Say hello, guys.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Well, there you go. So, well, what are our thoughts about the messages so far today? And what do we think? Where do we think we should go? James, you start.
Well, you know, Scott started out talking about the condition of the world. You know, if you watch the news, just what's on there and how horrible this nation has become. And Steve referred to it as the U.S. as being considered the Christian nation. And it is quite frankly horrifying to watch the news if you really look at what's going on. And then I'm going to try and tie all this together, so bear with me.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And then Philip got up and started speaking about line of authority and the chain of command, and how when you all have the same mind and same, y'all are working for the same thing, things get done unbelievably. Because everybody's agenda is the same. And when it isn't, it's chaotic. Absolute chaos. And then, Paul, you got up and started talking about unbelief, which Steve also spoke about in the beginning of his service. And all of it together reminds me of something Davey's been saying. Is either get in or get out. The state of the world is horrible. And if we're going to serve the Lord, we need to either become of one mind, put off all of our own agendas, and truly give our lives over to Him. Because the time is now.
A lot of people out there that use the state of the world to justify stuff they do that is, in some cases, ungodly, and other places is just not pleasing.
Well, Steve, go ahead.
Well, the other thing, I mean, as you're speaking, what also that kind of comes clear to me is that Scott talked about the condition of the world. I started talking about condition of the church,
right?
And what holds back the corruption, because you have the same spirit in the world,
and I 10,000 condition of the individual,
and the condition of the individual, and you have the same spirit that's in the world that you did a long time ago. But what held back the corruption was
Spirit of God,
the Spirit of God, the church, the salt. You know, I mean, that salt holds back corruption. I mean, you take country ham, and you go buy it in the store. It's not in the ice box. It's not. It's hanging up right there in open room temperature because the salt's keeping it from going bad. And that's the same when the church has the Spirit of God. It holds back that corruption, but what the church has lost is that Spirit of God. They're about all these other doctrines that are of the world. They're all about a religious spirit.
Abandon the Holy Spirit for the religious spirit that seeks to justify yourself. And it's works righteousness. It's a Galatians all over again, unfolding on the whole country. And the end of that's not a good one. Apart from the application of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if that will be heard by those people who it is heard and received by, it'll be deliverance unto them, but only a few.
But that's what holds back the corruption.
Yeah,
is when you stick to the Word, continue in His Word. You were talking about this morning, Paul. And so it kind of I focus in. You were talking about our lives being changed. I was talking about the body and the condition it is, and how that could all change. And are we losing his word? We might hear the truth of the word, but if we're not doing the truth of the word, we're not lining up with him in his way, what good is it? It's to be, what, cast out and good for nothing. And we are no different than the other churches that have lost that...
His Savior.
His Savior.
You sit there and you trust in all kinds of things other than the Lord. You trust in your ability to perform works pleasing to God in your own ability.
You trust in not being able to perform.
You trust in a certain religious performance that denies grace. It denies relationship. It denies perfect knowledge.
It denies God.
Discernment. Yes. Everything that is receivable by partaking in Jesus Christ from the Lord, you don't have it.
And it goes the opposite direction as far as what you were talking about, what you're able to do or what you're not able to do. But then again, that on that flip side of that coin is the same harm, because you don't do nothing because, oh, what are you, just a worthless piece of crap who can't do anything. Well, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you can do all things through Him.
Amen.
And you can partake of His goodness, and then you step out not on your own, but you step out in Him.
That's a perfectly good description of that. The flesh is a worthless piece of crap, absolutely.
Right.
However, you don't choose to dwell in that. You choose to dwell in Him, and His righteousness you receive and partake in, and His power and His knowledge and His wisdom and His mind, and operate when we're all operating because we put on the mind of Christ, then we're all speaking the same thing. There isn't 25 different messages with 25 different people. There isn't a constant one-upsmanship. There isn't a constant state of justification. No need for it.
Well, what you have, and in that point, bringing back of, you don't step out because you don't choose to believe Him and step.
Scared.
Well, you don't step out because you don't choose to believe Him.
Yeah.
And you're scared. You're comfortable dwelling in that I can't and I won't. And it's just as harmful of stepping out in something in presumption, thinking you do have something off. It's just because you're not. It's not about the grace of God. But it is coming, and it's so clear to us. We got that litmus test. We got that line of authority, and we got that. It's so clear to us when we take that which is told for us to do. We don't do it because we're scared to, or we don't trust or believe God, or we step out because we disregard that counsel as BS, and who do they think they are, and it's the one that the Lord established over you. And it's just the litmus test right there that tells you whether you believe or not, and that's going to be if you're going to be salty or not in Him, or be a part of Him at all. But James, you were saying something that you wanted to say. Do you still have that in mind? Because you told me to go ahead, and we kind of continue off in conversation here.
Yeah, it's fine, Phil. We've went past it, no problem.
Okay.
Well, one of the things that James said when he was speaking earlier was, you're either in or you're out. Wait, I thought it was more like the hokey pokey. You put your left foot in, you take your left foot out. It doesn't work that way? Is that what you're telling me? It's black and white.
Black and white.
In or out?
In or out.
Well, geez, that's much clearer, isn't it?
It is.
See, the world likes you to think that there's all these different shades of gray, that it is hokey pokey.
Yeah, at least 50. That's what I heard.
Yeah. But that's not the case. And if you ain't in, you are out.
That's right.
But there's hope for you to get in.
Amen. It's still available. It's available right now. You mean I have been out this whole time. I have been lost. I've been out this whole time. But I can choose to come in now? Is that what you're telling me,
Scott?
That
is what I'm telling you.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
That means we can enter into that. We can start learning to become a part, choosing to become part of that perfect man. Be in Christ Jesus.
And choose ye this day whom you will serve.
Amen.
Yeah. Carter. That was that was a lie. That was somebody was trying to deceive you with that.
Carter put into the chat, you mean the hokey pokey isn't what it's all about? No, it's all about Jesus.
Yeah, you know, and we sang that song, and it was just struck me when we sang that song, and you're talking about in or out, black or white, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, which are in Christ Jesus.
Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. How? What is that? What is that really saying? That's like, you're not the rule. The flesh isn't ruling you. It's not. You're not following. It's leading. See, it's leading. You have submitted yourself to the Spirit of God, and it's leading. So you're following it now, and that's simply a choice you make. You can't. You know, I hear people wanting to. I'm gonna vent a little bit.
Oh boy.
We did, there's a song we did today, just a closer walk with me. The song sounds like it's blaming God for not walking close with God. That's what it sounds like. But granted, Lord, it's my pleasure. That's a choice you make. That's not, there's no basis for that song. It's wrong.
And a part of that there is therefore now no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus, that's when you choose to follow after the Spirit, not the flesh. And then that's things that leave me. That's a choice. And then when you're in that place, there is no condemnation. Now, what we got to understand is that the Lord isn't the one that condemns you. See, there's freedom. There's no condemnation. You're already condemned. And see, the only freedom where there is no condemnation is in Him.
Amen.
And see, what happens is we get outside of Him, condemnation hits, all kinds of stuff breaks loose, you find yourself way off.
Then you start the natural move,
natural move
back into Jesus where that stuff falls away. It's to start justifying yourself.
Justifying yourself and blaming God and others.
Right.
And really, they don't personally say, well, I blame God. They usually blame the minister over them. Which in turn is blaming God.
Well, the name of the game is to blame somebody
other than yourself.
But I mean, that's how that turns and falls. I mean, if I got direction, clear direction from those above me, and from those for me to go and set my course, my face this way, it lines up with the Word of God, which it does. And I turn around and don't do it. And then all things fall apart and I find myself in a hellacious situation. The only person at fault is mine.
What was that word again?
Hellacious situation.
Oh, okay, I thought you had made up a word there.
It could be made up, I don't know. The meaning I put behind it is not freaking good.
Yeah, there you go. I understand.
Go ahead.
You know, on the flip side of that, though, when we do that, if instead of blaming God and justifying ourselves, and I've seen this in my own life, and I'd say we all have a testimony of it, I know you do, those situations that just look like there's absolutely no way out, when you turn to the Lord, it's amazing how He pulls you out of it and redeems it. I know you have a testimony of that. I know I do. I think everybody up here does.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that our testimony? Is we got ourselves in a terrible situation. Somebody introduced me to Jesus and got my butt out. But you're right, even in the Lord, and that's exactly what I was going to follow up with there, James. Even in the Lord, we fall astray. No, I say in the Lord, no, we just fall astray from Him. After we accept Jesus, we fall astray, we fall away from His way. And we get in those situations, but you know, you don't have to stay there. That was the next thing I was going to make. You don't. We just taught me we can repent. And that's the number one step. And see, because if we're still blaming others, or we're still blaming God, or we're still blaming others for the situation we're in, see, then we say it's not our fault. That's the first step is recognizing I'm in this situation and it's my own fault. The condition of where things are at starts with me.
We're agreeing with the testimony of Scripture, the Word of God.
Starts
agreeing with God.
Yeah, it starts with me. And see, when the word repent means to turn around. And see, when if you don't recognize that you're wrong, there's no reason for you to want to turn around. And see, when you recognize that you're at fault, and that first thing is to repent. Jesus called what? Sinners to repentance. They were headed the wrong direction. And when you have that thing that says, now you recognize you're wrong, then you can go and go to that place in John 15, without Jesus, I can do nothing. And you go, okay, Lord, help me. I mess this up. I can't do this on my own. Help me. I want to go forward in you. That will be the thing that the Lord answers. And usually it's been like, I've already been telling you. Oh, I'm sorry. Now I see I do need to hang on to that thing, which that person that you gave over me to give me that guidance that I need. I do need that. And that's a blessing from you, Lord. Thank you. And see, that's where you start moving forward. But it's the first step is repentance. The first step's repentance.
Yeah, it's you.
Getting a little excited over here.
That's a good thing.
You find that it gets really specific. It's about, you know, got coming to you administering correction. Sometimes it's just taking stuff off you that was binding you up and setting you free to, again. That's ministers, part of a minister's job. And it gives you clarity on direction and purpose, and sometimes there's a task list associated with it. Stuff that has been getting neglect. So, you know, all these things are why, you know, you have the gifts to the ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher.
Amen. And that's why, I mean, really, those things are, is neglect in whatever area. It might be just a physical thing of neglect. It might just be a spiritual thing of neglect. And your inactiveness to partake or stand in that which the Lord has called you to partake and stand in His grace.
Right.
And that's what the gifts are, is there to point out. You know, I remember Steve telling me a thing about the natural man. And the natural man sees that as hate and not good. And actually, it's love and it's good. And I remember him telling, and it was like chains coming off me. And I remember it was like chains kind of just like, I was like, oh, really? I mean, praise God. I mean, this whole time I'm getting condemned, beat up, and that's exactly where the enemy wanted me, because he didn't want me to move forward in that which the Lord had had me do. But see, he's shown the light on that thing and saying, so I could cast that which I thought was right, was actually evil, and I can cast that off and freely move forward. I mean, that's why we have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're not going to go move forward as a body if we reject those counsels and reject those things. Or even bring those things to the light.
Can't see it if it's not brought to the light.
Amen.
Paul's thinking about something.
Yeah, he is.
Pray tell.
Let's see if he had any second thoughts about it. Enough to say anything about it.
One thing I'll add is, you know, we were talking about walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And that's a choice that we have to make every day. I think, was it Paul that says, you know, I die to myself daily?
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
And it's not, you know, people listen, I don't want you to think that once you've choose to walk after the Spirit that your flesh is never going to try and, like, the flesh, it's just over. You're now walking after the Spirit.
Romans says flesh is enmity with God. It is, in the flesh you cannot please God. It is impossible. It doesn't, that's not what it wants to do. It is in constant rebellion. And it's trying to get you to agree with it and follow it into that rebellion.
Every situation. every situation we are in, we have the choice to walk after the Spirit or after the flesh.
Amen. And I mean, isn't that what water baptism is about? And when that happens, you know, it's not like we water baptized and then all of a sudden, presto change-o, you know what? The flesh just doesn't talk anymore. It just doesn't scream out anymore. It just no, it tells what the scriptures say. Reckon. You know, that's a charge there. Reckon yourselves
an action
dead.
Word.
It's an action word. That thing's going to fight and scream and do all the thing and carry on. You just choose not to listen to it anymore.
Well, what does that mean?
You reckon it as dead.
How do you treat, let's see, a dog that has died or a chicken that has died? How do you treat that dog? Do you keep coming up to it and offering it food and see if it wants a drink of water? Trying to, you know, less time, give you a coat of brushing? You treat it like it was dead.
Yeah, it goes back to the dirt.
Goes back to dirt. We don't go out there and dig it up every so often just to see how it's doing.
Amen.
I mean,
preach on. Remember, the reminds me of the...
As dead.
Amen. Reminds me of the cat. The dead cat, yeah. That
David was talking about. And bury the cat with the tail up.
You don't like cats. You wouldn't have a cat. So you're using a dog or a chicken.
Yeah.
I love my chickens, but I don't pet my chicken now. It just lays eggs for me. And
you like the eggs and you like chicken breast and, you know, chicken legs.
Absolutely.
If it died, you definitely wouldn't be waiting for it to lay more eggs.
No.
No.
However, the dog would be getting a burial. However, we're off point, and I apologize. I'll take responsibility for that one. But it does remind me, I mean, but isn't that what we do or have done? Pull up that dead. Man, that thing's even uglier than it was before.
Yeah.
Of course. Think over time it's going to get better? Or over time it's going to line up? No, it's corrupt.
It waxes worse.
Waxes worse, that's right.
Where are you heading, Paul?
I don't know. Every time you say something else, I'm in a different place. And, because we've been hitting around the edges of Romans 8.
Yep.
Let's see. What the law could not do, verse 3, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. But he did his work, and because he did his work, the condemnation of the flesh became fulfilled. Yeah.
Paul, did you see the chat on your mic?
Yes, I see it.
Okay.
I keep turning around to make eye contact with the other guys, and I probably shouldn't do that.
But we're not that much to look at, Paul.
Yes, I know. For, let's see, where am I? The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is the verse that I was not exactly giving proper attribution to. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It can't be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And the converse of that is the Hebrews 11:6, which I messed up, left the first part of the verse out. That first part of the verse is, I'm gonna go there because I'm fixing to mess it up again.
I was actually reading
I'm
somebody.
I'm really good at that. So when it turns out,
Hebrews this morning, Paul.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Unbelief. In unbelief, you cannot please God. And the flesh, it says here, they that are in the flesh and follow after it and are ruled by it, cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
You know, and it was interesting, I remember talking to Robin one night when she was down here, and she, we were talking about, let me get this mic up closer, and I'm talking, and she, we were talking about one of Davey's sermons about, have you ever felt like you're praying? And it's just hitting the brass roof, man. It's hitting the brass roof. It's just it's hitting the ceiling, not getting up there. Talk about, you know, that's believing with your flesh. And that ceiling is actually a lie. And then you ask and you pray those things which, you know God will hear. It's according to His will. And it was those prayers of a hunger for His Word, a focus to do His will, a love to love others with. And see, it's when you line yourself up with His will and you believe He is going to, you're going to receive those things from Him. And you knock down that lie, you knock down that brass ceiling, you start believing with your spirit. Because believing with the flesh doesn't happen. And there was another point I was hanging out there, just kind of escaped, but praise the Lord. But a lot of times, is it that which we ask for of Him at all, or is it even to glorify Him? It kind of takes me to James a little bit.
We ask for stuff to justify ourselves with.
Yeah.
See what I've ever get from God? See, ain't any special? It's terrible. But that's how we are. That's why you have to keep coming to the light. And expose the motivations. Have the Word act as discerner. Of separating soul from spirit.
And it's important for us to keep coming to the light and also to keep bringing the light.
Man.
I mean, that's the love to love others with.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to, terribly quote something. I'm going to have to go to it, and I did. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of whom with under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. the word, because there's nothing you can hide from him. The Spirit is always searching. What does it say? I'm going back and forth between Romans 8 and Hebrews is what it appears like.
You know, the other thing, that's what came to mind. The other thing of, it was Tuesday night's Bible study, David was talking about where the Lord's at hand. He was saying, Lord, you know, don't think the Lord likes you. You don't think, you know, all these things. Lord, I have nothing to do with you. But what did he say? He grab on and hang on to him anyways.
Yeah.
See, that's faith. That's not doing it with the flesh. Not as Cain did, which offered that which he did. No, he offered that which was acceptable to God. I mean, we believe on Jesus Christ and his faith. And see, his faith is acceptable to the Lord. If that makes any sense.
We are saved by hope, Romans 8:24. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? If we hope for that we see not, then do we, with patience, wait for it. That's that patience word. Which is like a dedication, a unswervableness from pursuit of that hope.
Yeah, I mean, and you see the examples where you were talking about in Hebrews, you see those examples of faith, of that unswervableness. No matter what went on, he chose God. Abraham chose God. No matter what went on, Joseph chose to believe God. Jacob chose to believe God. And, you know, on for David, Samson, you know.
The default position becomes the faithfulness and trustworthiness of one who's... The Lord. The yeah. Trustfulness and unswervableness of his faithfulness.
Exactly.
And trustworthiness.
And that's where, you know, I was hope it made sense of what's acceptable to the Lord, to God the Father, was Jesus' faith. And we trust in his faithfulness, and that he says what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. And
that's the encompassing thing about believing God. Abraham believed God and was reckoned him as righteousness. That's what that means.
Absolutely. You take Peter for an example, and remember the disciples after he was crucified and was resurrected again. Many of the disciples did not believe. You had Thomas, you had Peter that went back to fishing because he thought he was doomed, he was done for, but he went back to fishing. He went back to his old ways, yet the Lord showed himself and faithful to Peter and to bringing him along. And but what I'm getting at is when that situation, do we trust and believe God in the midst of any situation? Or do we grow faint, give up hope? You're talking about patience and unswervableness of patience, because you have a faith and trust on what he has done. And so you believe that. And you trust in his faith. See, when it's all your faith, then that's scary. But when it's his faith, oh, that's much more comforting. And we can trust that. That's something we can trust in.
One of the Robinsons, one important point of what Phil was saying, and the subject of faith is when you pray those things that God will answer. And then you start obeying his word and start stepping out. That's the expression of faith.
Absolutely.
That's again, you say you have faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. This is how it works. This is what faith looks like.
I prayed, I believed, I did.
Yes.
And trusted that God answered.
Yeah.
But see, if when it's It's all of it.
Yeah.
Where the rubber meets the road is when you go, the stepping out.
Yeah, and she goes, and you keep stepping out, notwithstanding how you feel or how you perceive yourself. And that really kind of fits into that patience word. It's not a condition.
So glad she tapped into that.
It's not a condition. It's an action. It's a choice. The patience. And you do it long enough, it can become a history and a lesson, both to remind yourself and to remind and to show other people. That's just a thing.
And you know, it comes to that. I mean, I've known many times, I don't know if you guys have ran into this, where I've had it at work or going about doing a Bible study or going and engaging something, and I tell you, I just really did not feel like it. It was the last thing I wanted to do. I felt like a complete, total, utter failure and a scumbag, and just, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
I just help me. I need you, and I can't do this. But I'm going anyways. I'm going anyways. Those have been some of the most mightiest.
Yeah.
Victories.
When you get yourself to that place, and then you just, you know, as Davey, you know, Brother Davey said, open your tater trap and start talking,
and
then boom, Lord meets you right there, and off you go.
Yeah, that would be the example, no matter how you feel.
Yeah. But if you gave in to how you felt, which is a flesh thing, and you stayed at home, and you're on the couch,
put on the TV,
no place for the Lord to work in that.
No.
Because you didn't step out in faith, trusting Him.
Right. Robert says, patience is possible because you believe God. And what He said He can do only happens if we believe Him and press on in that hope. And that is true.
It's kind of funny. We were talking about the situation that might have been the situation. Stayed at home. Stayed. A lot of times I have gotten myself many, many times before in that situation. Not in that same area, but in other situations where I haven't stepped out. Didn't know, okay, then you recognize, you know what? I messed up. Then you turn, you'll repent. You trust the Lord and go obey. And I've had situations where falling back, not done that. And at moments you recognize your just own lack of unbelief, your own lack of trust in Him, and you repent, and then you go step out. In the sense of actually after making that choice to stay home or the kid, right. Something else completely opens up.
Remember, that situation becomes resolved. You've changed your mind.
You truly repented.
Yeah. Your mind has been changed.
Yeah.
Then you stay in that place.
How many times, because you're talking about praying and asking God for something that's in His will for you to have, and how those prayers He answers, and you, right? From that point, suppose how many times you enter into prayer and you don't know what to pray. Well, that's kind of where I was going in my setup on
Romans
8. But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We ought to know, but we don't.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See? But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to God, the will of is not in there. But the whole thing, the whole package, according to God. It is, in other words, it's both acceptable and appropriate, and it's needful. And God's provision for us. One of the ways he does things. And we know that all things work together for good to them. Oh, man, suddenly I'm back on up on Romans 8:28. And when you're... When you're operating in that trust and not bound up by the unbelief of operating after the spirit, after the flesh, then we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, who are the called according to His purpose. That is both true for the elect seed and the seed of Adam. That is, you can
partake of it
partake
as Elijah
it.
Did.
As Elijah.
I mean, that's a good example. But Elijah stepped out and believed God.
Just like
Abraham. And you can choose to step out and believe God and be a part of that group. I mean, isn't that what the apostles are there for? Wasn't so, hey man, I'm chosen, so I keep this all to myself. No, it's so as much as the seed of Adam can partake of, man, they offer it out so they can partake of His goodness and His grace. And part of that praying where it says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we're talking about praying in tongues here. Yep. We ought to know what we ask for. We have no idea. Yep. But we have the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. We pray in that tongues. Believe and trust in God, and it's a salt to your pride, which is good. It kills it because you don't understand it.
You feel like an idiot when you do it.
Yeah.
Again, the feelings. It's all flesh.
The more you do, you don't feel like an idiot when you do it. It feels like something you're just supposed to do. But you need to have that.
It becomes easier.
Right. I use that word feel. It just is something you're supposed to do. I shouldn't say feel because you never really enter into that.
Well, interesting. Took the coffee cup off and he signed out. So there we go. Where was I at? Oh. I just kind of finished that thought. That's where I was. And trying to read the chat and respond to the chat at the same time. It is... hopeful. Because as you sit there and you read through Hebrews and you read through Hebrews, what did I say? Hebrews and Romans.
Yeah.
And Ephesians. The provisions the Lord has made to take care of us when we're willing to seek to do what it takes to please Him. When you believe God, you please Him.
If you believe God, you'd be willing
to
do what it takes.
That's the faith key. Absolutely. Without faith, it's impossible to believe Him. But the faith is just something that you have to bring back to yourself, all that stuff that you trusted in that wasn't Him, that wasn't of Him.
Might be my headphones on.
Yeah, it might be the headphones on the headset mic. That's what he's using, the headset mic.
Hey, James, we were, talking with some folks, so we didn't hear the last part of what Steve was saying there, and I think we caught, like, right at the end, he was talking about coming together as the perfect man.
I'd like to hear that.
Did you have anything?
Scott, I missed the last probably 5 to 6 minutes of Steve's message, because I come outside to do this, and so then my computer wouldn't pull up anything. I had to restart. That's why you guys couldn't get a hold of me. So I did miss maybe the last 8 minutes, 5 minutes. I have nothing.
Talking about being at that place where you just you don't know what you ought to pray for as you ought. You know, the Lord knows what you need.
Before you know. So the Word says.
Don't worry about it. And it also says, look, pray in tongues. I've done that many times. And you go out stepping out in faith. All right, Lord, me and you.
I have an example of faith that may be a little off subject, but I think it's very important to those, at least in this fellowship, because back 30 years ago, Davey was sitting in Florida, and there was a gentleman, Keith Cannon, praying to the Lord that somebody would come. And Davey's, I don't know, 1,000 miles away. And Davey was obedient to God. And he was obedient because he had faith and believed God. And Davey drove to Maryland. And that's how Ann is in this ministry. That's how my mom's in this ministry. That's how Warren Wilner is part of this ministry. That's how every single one of us has had the opportunity to be a part of this ministry. Oh, I apologize, Keith Fowler, not Cannon. One man's obedience. Had he not, none of us would be here today.
Amen.
One act of obedience. And how easy would it have been to sit there in Florida and think that it's the stupidest thing in the world? You need me to drive to Maryland. That would have been looking after the flesh.
And that's what we need to get
shed up.
There's not one of us in this fellowship that would be in this fellowship today had he not been obedient through faith and trusted the Lord.
And we were, as we were talking about, the condition of the body, the condition of the individual, the condition of the world, I know thing that David said, if it was like 6% of there's homosexuals in there, and look at how much ground they have taken. There's only 6%. David said, what if the Christians, just 6% of the so-called Christians, went forward in the Lord? How much ground did it take? And what, you don't know. We need it. We have that opportunity all the time for us to step out in faith, believe and trust in God, in act of obedience, as Robin clarified earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that opportunity, and we have that line of authority set for us to step out in all the time, and we disregard. There's many times the simplest things has turned into a blessing from a suggestion from up above.
All too often we're sitting on that couch.
All too often we're sitting on that couch, and it's... Or all too often we're not even seeking the counsel.
Amen.
Not even seeking the counsel to go forward. Oh, I'm fine, cozy, handy dandy. If I get that counsel, it might be a challenge. I have to get off my butt and do something that's uncomfortable for me.
I might not be able to be self-justified anymore.
Yeah. You know, get over it.
Amen.
So So we need to tell ourselves, get over it, old man. Shut up. Go back to the ground. That's what we were talking about. Reckon ourselves as dead.
Yeah.
You ain't in charge anymore. The Lord is. Get out of my way.
Well, I think I'm going to bring it to a close. I think we've beat this one up. It was a pretty good bit. That's a good place to end. We've been pressing the end of the hour all for the last several weeks anyway. But there are also sound issues, which is unfortunate. I had it, I went through the thing and I set it up, and it's set up. So it's like it's supposed to be. I don't know, where the rumble in the hiss is coming from, but, we apologize for it. And, if we just hope the experience was, worthwhile. Until next time, say goodbyes, guys.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Till next time, may the Lord bless you.